How you doing this morning?
Praise God. Blessed. That's good to hear. Forever is a long time. All right. Now, for the order of my steps, turn it down. Yeah, turn it down a little bit. Yeah, it's too much. It doesn't like to hear my voice so strong. All right. For the order of my steps, God speaking to us. I'm sure we either experienced something that we call God talking to us, or we've had somebody come to us and say to us, well, God told me. Amen. And in no way am I saying it never happens. What I am saying, based on the Bible, it doesn't happen that way often. Okay. And I'm hoping today that we get an understanding of how God speaks to us, because the problem is, and we get this sometimes with parents and teenagers, it's not that I'm not speaking to you, it's the how I'm speaking to you, right? And the thing, what God does is he speaks to us the right way, which is his way. We usually don't hear him because we want him to speak our way. We want to hear him based on us, and that's not how the concept works of how God speaks. So let's see what the Bible gives us on how he talks to us, because he still talks to us today, and he continually talks to us. So first of all, we get examples of how God spoke to the people in the past. Elihu was inspired to give us instruction and guidance on how they were spoken to in the past. In Job 33:14-25, it says, "For God does speak." He starts off letting them know, oh yeah, God's speaking. "Now one way, now another. Though man may not perceive it," and if you notice, he's saying, you may not recognize it, "in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds. He may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. Or a man may be chastened on a bed of pain with constant distress in his bones, so that his very being finds food repulsive and his soul loathes the choicest meal. His flesh wastes away to nothing, and his bones, once hidden, now stick out. His soul draws near to the pit, and his life to the messengers of death. Yet if there is an angel on his side as a mediator, one out of a thousand to tell a man what is right for him, to be gracious to him, and say, spare him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom for him. Then his flesh is renewed like a child. It is restored as it is in the days of his youth." So there was more that they had that happened. And even that mediator, we have Christ today for that. You know, and they're saying if there was an angel. And they're usually referring to Christ, but they didn't know of Christ back then. So there was multiple ways. Usually in the Old Testament, when you hear that he had spoken to either David or to Moses, one of them. Now, Moses is one that he did speak to directly, okay? But a lot of the other ones, they heard him through what was called a prophet or a man of God. It could have been through dreams, all of the different ways. Today is different, and he lets us know that. Today he speaks to us through Jesus, who is also the Word, which is the Bible. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through prophets at many times and in various ways." So that's what we just read. In the Old Testament, he did different ways and different things to talk to different people in various ways. But in verse 2, it says, "But in these last days," so that's talking about all what we're in now, "he has spoken to us by his Son." He just narrowed everything down to one way. Now, within that way, there are going to be ways within that way. We're going to talk about how that works. "Whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe." So he's saying, so everything now comes through Christ. We have access to the answer, to the way. Amen? So we have this. And this also provides the answer to how to test, is it really God that is speaking? Right? Because he's saying, I speak to you through the Son. So if I get something outside of the Bible, which is outside of Christ, it is not God. That's how I can comfortably say, when some people come to me and say, hey, God said this to me, I can say, it wasn't God. How do you know that? Because it's not in line with Christ. So it's not in line with the Word. It must be in line with the Word. Must be. Do y'all get that? In order for it to be of Christ. Does everybody get that? true followers of Christ hear his voice and follow him only. Now, let me stop there for a minute because it helps. You know how the Bible always shows us where we, it can show us evidence of where we're at. If you want to know where you're at, okay? A lot of times when we don't hear God, it's because I'm not truly following God. Now, a lot of people may get hurt by that or insulted by that, but if we're humble, we'll receive that. We'll go, wait a minute. So it shows me why, what's messing up and where I'm at. Because he shows us in John 10, 27 through 28, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. Did y'all catch that? He's saying, the ones who are following me are going to hear me. Those who don't are not. He says, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. He's saying they can hear me. He was like, the people who are of me hear me because they know my voice. Now, the reason why I love this is when he says they know my voice, in other words, how he speaks to them, you know what I mean? Coming from him, Christians will get that. True followers. When I'm one who claims to be a Christian, I want him to speak to me another way. I want him to speak to me when I want him. I want him to say the right things to me or what I think is right. And then other than that, I don't hear him. And that's the problem. And that's common today, in which we don't hear him, not because he's not speaking, but he's not speaking in what we want him to speak in. We must adjust ourselves to hear him. We must adjust ourselves to hear him. James 4, 8 through 10 gives us this guidance. Now, I'm going to give you an example before I go over this. I work in a hospital, and every once in a while we'll bring in a patient who speaks a totally different language. And the person that has to treat them will speak English. So they bring in this phone. And on this phone, you have two handhelds, and the patient will hold one, and you'll hold the other, and the patient will speak. And then this phone translates it so you can hear it in English. Now, if the person said, no, I'm not using that phone, and I'm just going to try to talk to them so they understand me. One thing we tend to do, do you notice how when somebody speaks another language, we speak louder? I don't know why we think they're deaf, but that's something we'll yell at them. You know, I'm saying, you know, they still don't understand. But they had to make adjustments in order to understand the person speaking. Because the person's trying to communicate. We're trying to communicate. Nothing's happening. Amen? You're asked, how bad does it hurt? And they speak this other language. You're going, I have no idea. What are we looking at today? I'm still lost. And that's where this phone comes in. In the same way, when it comes to talking to God, we need to go to God to find out how to talk to God. Watch what he says here in James 4, 8 through 10. He says, come near to God and he will come near to you. That's the first part. So a lot of times we struggle with God because we're not coming near to God. And you may go, some say, yeah, I am. And if I ask you how, you'll give me your version of coming near to God. Now, he gives us in the Bible how to come near to him. The biggest part is finding out him and doing what he says. That's the biggest. You're going to find out the biggest part of our relationship with God is finding what he says and doing what he says. That's why you go to church. That's why you study the word. All this is to, I want to hear what he says so I can do what he says. Everybody get that? Okay, so we have to apply it and we have to make sure we do it. So he says, come near to God and he will come near to you. So he's responding to you. He's responding to you. I want to hear, right? So he's saying, so if you really want to hear me, let me show me that you really want to hear me. He says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. So in other words, you'll get rid of the stuff you have no business doing. You'll be on the path and the journey to get rid of it. Not make excuses to keep it. Not try ways of holding on to it. You'll get rid of it. Purify your hearts. Remember, your hearts represent your purpose. When he says purified, a lot of Christians today have Christian values and. Did y'all catch that? Christian focuses and. When he says purify your hearts, as a Christian, I'm supposed to do everything based on God. The minute I throw the and in there, I'm not going to hear God. Y'all get that? I'm not going to hear him. Why am I not going to hear him? Because I have this other thing I want him to speak on also. I have this other value, this other vision. I want him to speak on those terms as well as what he says. And it doesn't work that way. So he says, purify you hearts, you double-minded. He goes on to say, grieve, mourn, and wail. That's very important, and even though it doesn't make sense. Some of us are saying, so he wants me to become depressed. No, it's not. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, we are trying to find fleshly enjoyment. We are trying to live for a fleshly happiness, which is deceptive. Okay? He's not telling you not to be happy, but the majority of us are looking for happiness. Correct? In other words, if you were able to write a list of what God can do for you, and you write down stuff to make you happy, then most of it would destroy you. Most of it would destroy you. But at the moment, it would make you happy. If God would give me this, if I would just have this, it would destroy you. When he says grieve more than well, will you recognize the situation we're in, the world we're in, his son had to die for us, what a wretched man I am? When I understand and I get to that point, I'm going to God for the complete picture. God, I'm coming to you humbly wanting to receive everything from you. That's why it goes on to grieve more than well, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Stop looking for a fleshly happiness. But then he says, humble yourselves before the Lord. Now, understand what he's saying here. As far as I'm concerned, I'm a good guy. I'm all right, right? I may do some bad stuff, but I'm okay. Humility, like Paul, what a wretched man I am. I can't even believe God is allowing me to have the opportunity for eternal life. Do y'all get this? Now, why do I need to do that? When I understand that I'm ready to receive everything from him. Did y'all get that? All right. When I'm not like that, I may receive some from him. Because I'm already convinced I'm a good guy. Just tell me these parts I need to fix. He'll look at me and go, everything. No, God, do you understand? I'm a good guy. You see those guys over there? I'm not like them. You know what I mean? I'm doing good and I enjoy. And this is, instead of me going, God, whatever you want me to do. More I vision or look at humans, including myself, I see that same thing. That's that quality, especially today, and why he calls it terrible times. It's because we're so engulfed in, I have these things in my life I don't want to let go of. However, so God, fix all these other things. Make me feel better. Make me happy. Do it based on how I see it instead of us going, I want to do exactly what you tell me. The grieve, mourning, and wailing is realize I'm in a bad situation without you. I can do absolutely nothing without you. So he breaks that down for us. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your gloom and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. In other words, you'll be lifted up the way you're supposed to be lifted up, not lifted up the way you desire to be lifted up. Y'all see the difference? Because when I desire to be lifted up, I'll use different things of this world that are really destroying me. At the moment, it may feel good, but overall, it's destroying me. Okay? It comes in different forms, and we do it. Everybody does it. It could be with food, could be with drugs, could be with drinking, could be with sex, could be with so many things in which at that moment, man, I enjoyed it. That was really good. Overall, it's killing me. Y'all get this? To where we really need him. It comes in so many different forms. But he will lift us up if we totally let go and depend on him. So how does God speak to us, speak through Christ to us? How does he do that today? First of all, through the Holy Spirit. He showed us in John 15, 26 to 27. It says, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So it's showing us not only does the Spirit talk to us, and there's a verse that shows us he communes with our spirit or talks to our spirit about him. We are supposed to talk to others based on the Spirit. Now, here's the problem. A lot of us will blame our emotions or the feeling on the Holy Spirit. That's the problem. Okay? We usually, because we feel strong about something, don't engage the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit indwells us. He doesn't possess us. All right? Possession means he comes in and he takes over. No, he indwells us and he empowers us. So I have to listen to him. Well, how do I listen to him? Well, that's where the Bible and church come into play, because that gives me guidance of where the Spirit is. So the Spirit will keep me guided and will even enhance the understanding of his word. And that's when I know, man, the Spirit is guiding me too. Not because I feel strong about something, because it's something I desire. You'll see the difference. When somebody has a strong desire, look at it. Is it in line with God? Well, yeah. Okay, most likely then it is guidance from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because it won't always be desirable. Keep that in mind. Will not always be desirable, because it's going to go against the flesh. He's going to guide you to do things that you don't want to, because what we want to is what got us in the problem that we're in now. Do y'all get this? All right. I'd want him to guide me more in the word. I really want to do this, but you know what? I left. Why? I was guided. I was led. And that's where the Holy Spirit, he testifies about Christ. It goes on in John 16, 7 through 11. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. Now, once again, if we're led by the Holy Spirit, then I'm in the world, not of the world, with everybody else going through the same thing together, but they'll see me react different because of the Spirit. That's how it's supposed to work. Do you get where I'm coming from? And then the world will go, well, how come Keith didn't act a fool when this and that happened? How come Keith was so calm when this and that happened? How come he's able to say sorry and apologize in this situation? Do y'all get this? It'll convict the world. It's a ministry that has to happen to the world. It'll convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and in judgment. He says in regards to sin because men do not believe in me. Because you're going to see men trying to do things on their own and they're going to watch Christians being led by the Spirit. It's going to, wait a minute, I'm doing something wrong. It goes on to say in regards to righteousness because I'm going to the Father. So it's going to show us the right way. Remember, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in other words, man today has our own definition of righteousness, and everybody's different. How does that work? All right, we get a group of people to get together and write laws and say, okay, this is righteousness. However, it only fits a certain group of people, and other group of people leaves other people out. How does that work? What it's saying is, what the Spirit shows us is true righteousness, a consistent all the time righteousness. So in regards to sin, in regards to righteousness, it shows us both of those things. And then it says, in regards, and it goes on to where you can see me no longer. In verse 11, it says, in regards to judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. So it's basically saying, Satan, who's running things, who the world without Christ is following, is doomed. And saying, you keep following that way, you're doomed. He's letting us know clearly, this is how judgment's going to work. Do you want to be on the winning end or the losing end? That's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do through us when they see us living for Him and not for the world. Unfortunately today, you get Christians that are Christians by name only, and they're no different than the world, sometimes worse. Has the same attitudes, if not worse. React to things more recklessly, if not worse. Have very distorted relationships, if not worse. And that should not be. Oh, but by the way, I'm a Christian. Y'all get this? Those are when we're not led by the Spirit. But he talks to us through the Holy Spirit, and he allows us to talk to others through the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he speaks to us through creation. Through creation. Sometimes, and this is where I see parents totally mess up, because we take our kids out and we allow these worldly books and stuff to guide us through nature as if it's nature. In fact, we call it Mother Nature, as if there's some mysterious woman that is running how nature works. And then we allow science to come in, and then we give them fake stories, and we get all this other stuff, and our kids are confused. Instead of letting them realize this is God, taking them out and letting them understand God. When they see the snowstorm, God. This hurricane that's coming up here, God. Do we really display God to them, or do we give it some mystical, weird answer to make them feel good, like we do with Santa Claus and all this other stuff? Well, kids enjoy that instead of growing them into understanding God. Do y'all get this? We like the mystery and the fun of it instead of the realness of it, because they grow up still with that mystery and that mistakenly and that fairy tale. It shows us in Romans 1, 18 through 20, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and the wickedness of men. Watch this. Who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The reason why we're not getting it is instead of me taking my children out, instead of us as Christians displaying creation as God, we added our own stories. We ignore stuff. We treat things incorrectly instead of showing God. Do you understand that? Science even knows there's stuff they only know about trees, but so far. You understand this? The whole Big Bang has kept changing over and over again. It's not as consistent. The human brain and the heart make no sense to science. Science can give you what it does know, but then it stops. Why does it stop? Because it's God. We don't understand what the soul is and how that works. This is God. These are fascinating things that we can train and teach. We want the kids to see the unknown. We want us to see the unknown. But we allowed our wickedness, what we thought to come into play, our little stories. We ignored certain things. We started applying our intelligence to something that's far beyond us. He was like, his wrath is coming because of this. He says, watch what he says in 19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. He made clear what we're supposed to know, and the I don't knows were made to be I don't knows. Do y'all get this? Things that are too wonderful. We're supposed to recognize, look at the think about it. This one planet amongst, and we're looking at billions now, and we still haven't found one. I'm not saying we would never. I'm just saying we still haven't found one with life, and not just life, as complex as ours. As complex, and not only life that's complex, human beings, think about it. Now, if we did this whole evolution thing like they said we did, how it should be is we all should be evolving and everybody thinks it's going to take their turn. They even made the dinosaurs the first humans as far as they're concerned. They were nothing but animals, if and however that whole concept works, but they like to distort this. But do you notice how humans, and then there's a huge gap in between before the next intelligent animal or whatever out there. If evolution worked that way, why did we advance so much? But we missed that, because science is like, just don't look at that, while it's plain to us. Even when I was in science, a question like that was asked, and the scientists were like, well, no, the other ones will evolve. And the person asked, well, when? I don't get it. We are far advanced than all the other animals. What happened? If evolution worked the way it's supposed to work, something happened. Why did we evolve so great compared to all the other? Once again, we can get deeper into that. But the point I'm putting to you is it's plain to us. We see this stuff, and we still allow ourselves to go, oh, it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. I want my kids to go, then how come that dog is still the same dog it was a million years ago, and we're so much more advanced? You're absolutely right, because God made it so. And not, well, we all evolved. Do y'all get this? Right? And that's where the problem comes in, because we allowed our wickedness to get in the way instead of displaying God where he has already displayed himself. He says in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen. The reason why you're fuzzy today is you've allowed, I've allowed, my parents allowed, the world has allowed, the church has allowed us to be influenced by other things. He says, seeing God in nature and creation and everything, seeing God in disasters and everything like that, all these things would make us wake up to God. You'll see this hurricane come up here and you'll think, this is what God can do if we don't get our act together. Clouded, we go, that's because the heat comes here and the weather systems here and then global warming is and all this, and we give all this scientific stuff. Okay, if you're that smart, stop it. Go make it move somewhere else. And we can't even predict where it's going. Because Florida was in a whole lot of trouble. Now they're sitting there going, it's not going to touch us. They might get a little wind in there. Now it's going to North Carolina. But do you understand what I'm saying? Instead of recognizing this is God. God could have made a turn anyway, and if we were so brilliant, we would have known exactly where it's at. So we see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature in everything. When we allow it, when we rip away all this junk that man has destroyed it with, we see God, and God talks to us. That's why he's saying all of it has clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Our excuse is because we messed it up. We added what's not there to it. So he speaks to us through our surroundings, through creation and everything in that. God speaks to us through his Bible. Why we should study our Bible every day. I know when a lot of Christians, when they read their Bible, act like they're doing God a favor. Right? I know I got to read my Bible. God's like, no, you don't have to. And he's being very clear. Same with church. We'll talk about that. But you don't have to do either of it. He's saying it's for you. Because remember, I use it in the analogy I use is you're still going to have to take the test. If you do this, you'll have all the answers you need. The test of life, the reason why it beats us up so much is because we keep allowing ourselves to read the worldly stuff, but we're not reading the spiritual stuff. He gave us the answer of what's going to happen to us and how to prepare for it. And we sometimes read. Does that make sense? Sometimes we'll read. We'll read all these other books for comfort. We'll watch a lot of television. We'll do a lot of other things on the internet. We'll follow all this other junk. But the thing that's supposed to prepare us for everything in life, we ignore it. It says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, all scripture is God-breathed. First of all, let us know it comes from God. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Now, what that let me know is used for everything. You know, the teaching part is to instruct me and give me guidance in life. The rebuking part, how do I know when I'm really doing wrong? Well, the Bible will show me that. That's where the rebuking part comes in. Correcting. How do I know if I'm going the right way or not? The Bible will show me. It's my true GPS in life and training. What do I do in life to prepare for life? The Bible will tell me. If I just studied and read the Bible, I'd be prepared for anything that's about to happen. All right. A lot of us are living this I hope life. I just hope this doesn't happen. Hope I don't lose my job. Hope I don't ever get sick. Hopefully nobody dies. And you know it's going to happen. Right? Tragedies are going to, or even the positive things, or what we call positive. What if I benefit from something? What if I get a whole lot of something? What if I get a good position? What if you something? What if I get into a relationship? I add up all this stuff. But am I prepared for it? Do I know what to do? Why do you see people destroy what we may call great situations? Because they had no idea what to do when they got in it. They're like, I wasn't prepared to get it. But the Bible shows me. It says it trains us and gives us everything in righteousness, in the right way of doing it, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Life will be able to do nothing to me. I'll be prepared for, oh, I knew what to do in here. Oh, I seen this coming. Or even though I didn't see this coming, I know exactly what to do. It'll be that person when they see the hurricane coming, there'll be no panicking. They already were prepared, but they were also prepared for it not to come. They're prepared for a snowstorm. They're prepared for a tornado. They're prepared. Why? Because the Bible is my guidance to everything. How many of us make the mistake of only reading the Bible for stuff that pertains to us now? In reality, that's foolish because you're already in it, right? That's like me trying to fix my roof now while it's storming outside. I got to fix it now because it's going to leak. No, it's already in your house, and you just probably made it worse trying to fix it. Instead of going, you know what? I'm going to need to fix that. And you start fixing it while it's sunny and everybody else looking at you and everything's patched. Now it's storm. And everybody else says, why is our house leaking? And yours is firm. Because you prepare it ahead of time. You never know when that's going to come into play. He speaks to us through the Bible. He gives us instruction. A lot of stuff you're going through mentally and emotionally, you would have been prepared for if you stayed in the Word. And by far, one of the most important ways God speaks to us is through church. It's the main source of speaking. Now, here's the thing. It's supposed to be through church. The problem is we don't demand that, if you're being honest. You know that verse that says there's going to come a time when man will not put up with sound doctrine, but to say what his itching ears want to hear, he'll gather around him teachers to say these wrong things. Why do people do that? Because I don't want to hear what I'm supposed to hear. I want to hear what I want to hear. I want you to come and tell me I'm a good person. I want you to come and make me feel good after I leave out here, and then I want to go out into life. The Bible gives us guidance on what the church service is supposed to be. Look what it says here in Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. It was he. So it's letting us know church service was created by God. He created certain people to do certain things. He said it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. So he's telling us the leadership of the church service. He was like, I put them in place to serve a certain purpose. What is their purpose? Does it say to make everybody feel good when they leave out of here? No. Does it say, so when you go somewhere, you can feel good about what you're hearing? No. Does it say, so everybody can come together and enjoy what they're hearing? And do you notice it's all not based on you? It's saying it to prepare God's people for works of service. That's the first part. So now I'm preparing. Remember that whole thing, the preparing? My job better be using this word, to prepare, because it's the thing I'm supposed to use, right? To prepare you for what you're getting ready to go through. Everybody in here should be prepared for anything. And here's the thing. Some things you may not go through. That's why a man will be able to tell a woman what she's getting ready to go through in pregnancy. Why? Because he has what's needed to prepare. We like people who have experienced it. You notice that? I'm going to show you how foolish that is. You'll see somebody that can be a parent. They can be the worst parent in the world. But because they were a parent, guess who you'll go to for advice? Horrible parent, but they're a parent. Instead of going to what the word, which is the true righteousness. I see that happen all the time. Well, after somebody, well, because they have kids, I'm going to go, don't we do that? Right? And it seems wise. While it's foolish, then you're going to get wrong. I told you somebody a long time ago, I said, one day I'm going to learn how to play golf. I don't know if that ever happened. And there was a CFO I was friends with, and he made a comment to me, just make sure they teach you how to play it right. He was like, because let's say they teach you how to play it wrong, and you practice it. He said, you'll just be extra good at playing it wrong. That was a wise statement. He didn't even realize that, I don't know. But you understand that. In life, it's the same thing. A lot of us are taught stuff, and we're just really good at doing it wrong. Reason why as parents we're so bad is because we listened to other parents who were doing it so bad, and now we're extremely good at getting it wrong. while we had the truth right here in front of us. Amen? We had the answer. It tells marriages, husbands how to love their wives, wives how to submit to. It tells us clearly how to do it. We ignore it, do it our own way, and get it wrong. Y'all see this? And then we go to counseling. Why isn't it working? Well, you're not following. Yeah, not about that. Can we find some other answer? Instead of getting it right, having the answer that we have. He gives us the answer that we need. So and he starts off saying that this word is there to prepare God's people for works of service. Now watch this. So that. Now this is going to lead to something. So church is for me to train you, to get you ready for works of service, so that the body, not just you as an individual, but you with others, are going to be able. It says so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay? So now I got to build us up together. So there's a togetherness that has to happen in here. So it comes together. That's the second thing. Until. All right? So now I have to get to a certain point. Until we what? Until we all, everybody say all, reach unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God. So far, none of this is feel-good moments. This is a collective. This is a goal. This is where we're supposed to be headed for. Somebody asked me the other day, how come, you know, you get a lot of churches today that'll do a lot of service things, to go out and do a lot of things, and on the surface, it looks great. You understand it? But what we're not doing today is we're not teaching. I think y'all would feel good if I said, you know what, we're going to go on a whole bunch of missions. We're going to go help a lot of poor. We're going to do a lot, and it would be great, and you would not get fed. If it was not done in the right way, we'd be so engulfed in doing good, we'd miss what good is because you're not being taught. Do you understand that? We wouldn't have any idea of how to do it if you're not getting taught what to do. He says, until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So there's a goal in mind here. And it's not just for you as an individual. It's for us as a body. And FSG is just a small part of that entire body. So I got to do my part as a pastor, and hopefully other pastors doing their part, that we all come together using this word, becoming one body, and minister to the world. And you already have some Christians going, that's never going to happen. Oh, that's impossible. Let's go do services. Let's go do something to make me feel good. And that's what Satan wants, to make me feel good. Once again, we showed last week, look what he did with Eve. Look at the tree. When she saw that the food was good for eating and she felt good, then she acted. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to go do stuff that seems so good. It looks good. Makes me feel good. And then we act instead of growing in the way that he said, because he puts all this together. And watch what he says. If we did this and we did it the right way, then the next word is then. Everybody say then. So he's saying you follow all this stuff on the other side, you wouldn't be as confused as you are today. You wouldn't walk around going, God, I don't know what's going on. You wouldn't be as somewhere here and there and mixed up. He says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. It's a process. Why aren't we getting there? We didn't get past the then. We've turned churches into other things instead of going, I need God to speak to me. And instead of us following it this way, me doing my job as a pastor, you doing your job as the body, receiving it and coming together as a body. So then when you go out in the world, you're like, I can't be deceived. Christians right now are so vulnerable. You can get somebody else to tell you something else and you'll see Christians go, hey, I never thought of it that way. And you just see and you have to go grab them back. What are you doing? And it's crazy. Why? Because we allow so much other junk. There's a series coming up in the Bible studies on why we it takes us so long to learn. Okay, and keep an eye out for that if you don't get a chance to physically listen to it. It's going to be on the website. It's called Slow to Learn. And if you don't get that, you need to get it because we're putting ourselves in danger being in the position we're in. But understand that all of this is how he speaks to us. This is the way he speaks to us. And if I take myself and listen in that way, you'll hear God in every question you have. If you came to church, you'll find out, man, every question is being answered. You read your Bible, every question is being answered. You look around in creation, every question is being answered. And most importantly, the Holy Spirit within you is answering everything you need. You just may not like the answer. So it is our responsibility to live spiritually so we can hear God and be used to speak for God. First of all, we have to allow God to speak through us for one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily. How often is daily? every day. So you can't go, yeah, I talked to him 2 months ago. That's not daily. Y'all do understand that, okay? And it's not the same person. It means we got to do this process, and everybody need to do it with everybody. Encourage each one daily as long as it's called today, so that none of them may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And it didn't just say, so none of them will be hardened by sin, so they won't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin makes you think, if you just do this, you're good. And if I, as a Christian, am not around to go, wait a minute, you can't do that. You'll go, there's nothing wrong with doing this. Right? Like I said, that's why Christians are calling themselves good people. Because there's nothing wrong with doing this. Instead of another Christian going, no, only God is good alone. Do y'all see how the encouragement helps using his word? That's the one way. But it also allows us to minister to the world. We allow God to speak to us through us for unbelievers. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. So in other words, he's telling you, don't use your circumstances to go, well, you know, as soon as things change in God, then I'll be a good person and minister. That's not what he said. No. I don't care what you're going through. Once again, if you follow the Bible, follow what church is showing you, you'll be able to go through it while you're going through a storm. He put you in that storm so you can minister to others with your lives. Did y'all get this? Okay. He put you in that situation so you can minister how to do it. So when others look at you, they go, oh, that's how it's supposed to be done. Do y'all get it? This is how this person deals when they go through a tragedy in the Lord. They grow in God. That's how it's supposed to be done. That's why when they see you, they glorify God. Because they know you're just like me, and you just went through that struggle. You went through that depression. You went through that frustration. But the way you acted, wow. And they glorify God. You see how that works? You're speaking to them or allowing God to speak to them. Make sure we are just speaking and displaying God in his purest form. Here's the problem. We got too many intellectuals, too many emotionals, too many culturals, and downright ignorance. And the people, what I mean by that is we've added to God. Remember, Peter was notorious for doing that. God, Jesus would give him, who is God, an answer. Peter would add or take away from it. Yes, I'm going to do it. No, we're not going to do it. Oh, how about we do this? And I know he wants to say, Peter, just do what I'm telling you. He's saying the same thing to you. Peter, just do what I'm telling you in its purest form. If the Bible tells me to do it, guess what I'm doing? I'm doing it. Not I'm doing it and to add to it to make it greater. He didn't ask you to do that. Why are you adding this other stuff to it? Why are you taking stuff away? He shows us in 2 Peter 3:15 through 16, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. So it's showing you that Paul didn't write the book. It was written by God through Paul. It says, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. What he didn't say was, it's going to be so easy. He said, yeah, some of it's going to be hard to understand. But watch, he's not going to go into the understanding part. The rest of the Bible does that. He's going to show what some people do in a dangerous way. He says, which ignorant and unstable people distort. In other words, I'll tell you, don't listen to this part. And you're like, okay, now I understand it. That's what's happened to a lot of Christians. We've watered down Christianity so much. That's why we told people, just say these words and you're going to heaven. Don't worry about anything else. And this is who it's talking about. We've taken Christianity and we watered it down so much. That's why people don't read their Bible. That's why we don't take it seriously. That's why we think we just get it through osmosis of some sort. Instead of realizing, no, he gave you the ability. He gave you the power to do it. But yes, sometimes you're not going to get it. And you're going to have to be earnest to get it. You're going to have to strive to get it, to understand it. That's why he says, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scripture to their own destruction. They're already in trouble. So when somebody made it easy for you to understand by getting rid of some stuff or watering stuff down, they're doomed. Pray for them because they're in a huge amount of trouble. Even though you might go, oh, now I get it. Did you get it or did they remove some stuff from it? Amen? Did you really get it? That's why I have stopped trying to encourage from God. We must encourage through God. Sometimes we'll read something in the Bible and it'll disturb us, and you'll get somebody to go, don't worry about that. I don't need you to encourage me away from God. I don't need you to encourage me because of God. My encouragement better be through God. Does that make sense? So if you give me God and it hurts, that's a good hurt. I want that hurt. You want that hurt. Don't encourage me from it. Let me strive in it. That's why he said count it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds, because it's the best thing you're going to get. Love God through it. Don't have somebody come and go, oh, you're going to get a breakthrough. Don't worry, you're going to get up. No, say praise God for that. This is a good thing. We must always filter through God. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. In other words, be careful what you're saying. I don't want your wisdom. I don't want your ideas. I don't want your experiences. I want God. Too many times we become these theologians and we end up becoming Pharisees. And you saw what he said about the Pharisees. We don't know what we're talking about. And then when it's all said and done, test everything. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22, test everything. Just so you know, it didn't come from me. He says, test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. Everything includes what? All things. Test everything. You have this whole paper and everything you got from me. You're not going to go amen and leave alone. You're going to go home and test it. Let me see what the pastor said is in the Bible, right? Test everything. God speaks to us every day, continually. We need to readjust ourselves to hear from him, or you're going to miss something huge. Amen? All right. So, we will take this time out to help ourselves refreshments. We'll skip the prayer meditation as an example. You'll be doing that anyway. Help yourselves to refreshments. And once you come back in, we will continue on flesh versus spiritual. Amen? All right.